This is Stephen Adams.
And this is Kevin Durant. Oh, sorry.
Kevin Durant. You Kevin Durant, mate? Good to see you, mate. Different complexion.
Okay, let's go again.
So, this is Stephen Adams.
And this is Enes Kanter.
You're listening to the Down to Earth...
Down to Dunk podcast.
What? Down to Dunk.
Down to Dunk.
I'll say that.
Introduce yourself, mate.
Here's Stephen Adams, and I'm Enes Kanter.
And you're listening to Down to Dunk podcast.
Stay tuned.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. This is your host, Andrew Schlecht. We are part of DailyThunder.com, also Almighty Baller Radio. You can check us out on Dash Radio on Saturdays. With me today, I feel like this has been a long time coming. We have James Hollis, a.k.a. Snotty Drippin, on the line. James, what's up?
I'm bowing to your excellence. Down to Dunk is one of my favorite pods, man. Thanks for having me on. It's an honor. I appreciate it.
I'm glad you could come on, man. We're gonna talk some Thunder. This off season has been just crazy. And my child is already right here. Archie, do you have something to say? What is it?
I wanted to get on the stage.
I have no idea what you said, but
what's up, man?
I'm glad.
Did you hear Snotty was coming on? Can you hear me?
Can you say hi to Snotty? Say hi, Snotty.
Hi, Snotty.
What's up, little man?
All right. See you later, buddy. Okay. So we did our off-season preview pod, and we're talking about, like, bad Victor Oladipo trades, and we're talking about how there's, like, a lot of internal development. And
I remember.
Sam Presti turned it on its head. So I want to hear your reaction. Like, what was your initial response to the Paul George trade? And then, like, what do you think now? Like, what are your thoughts as you've processed it?
Okay, so in case the listeners aren't familiar, which they're probably not because I'm nobody big, Thunder fan adjacent. So the Celtics are my team. But, like, Russell Westbrook to me is he's up there probably with, like, Elvis and, I don't know, like the Pope. I love some Russ. So I've been following very closely the whole time. And, you know, like, I thought it sucked when he who should not be named left. And then, Russ went MVP, but I know when the season was over, things got a little dicey because it was like, you know, what do we do now? Mm-hmm. I know that, you know, you're up against the salary cap, and I heard you guys talking about the trades, and things seemed kind of bleak. You know, can we get Melo in here? What can we do? We got to get more help, and we all knew it, you know. So then when I heard about Paul George, I was shocked. So Presti, I know, is a very good GM, but I've been kind of, you know, I hold it against him kind of that they had at one point Harden and he should not be named, and Ibaka, and now it's just Russ.
Sure.
You know, that kind of, through circumstances, it sucks. But then to swing the offseason he had this year, you got to bow down to him, the man. Mm-hmm. And I automatically think, you know, the Thunder are definitely a top four team in the West.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk a little bit about that, because everybody's got their swing on what's going to happen in the West. And really, we just really have no idea. And from some things that I'm hearing, the Thunder aren't done yet, or at least they don't want to be done. So things could change from now to the start of the season. But what's your West rankings right now? Maybe just like top five or six.
I got the Russ and Thunder bias. I think Paul George is a much better fit than Chris Paul is in Houston. Even though, you know, I guess most people say Chris Paul is a better player. I have a thing for wings, and Paul George is that kind of long-ranging wing that I think can be more impactful than Chris Paul. But, you know, you got Pat. What a great offseason, man. Yeah. What a great offseason. So I got to say, Golden State obviously is number one. I want to – on paper, I'll say Houston's two. Mm-hmm. Even though I think the Thunder, maybe they don't win as many games, but I think in the offseason, they're going to be really tough out. So, Golden State, Houston, and I, out of respect for San Antonio, I keep them three. I don't know how they keep doing it, but they keep doing it. They're probably going to win almost 60 games again this year. And then, you know, I'm being biased the opposite way, trying to suppress my bias. I got Thunder four, even though I think they definitely end up number two in the East, in the West.
Yeah, I think that those... Everybody besides Golden State, those three teams are going to be super close. And, you know, it may come down to a couple games. Man, I think the only reason that we're giving San Antonio credit is just for Pop and their system. Because I don't know about you, but their roster is like so uninspiring to me.
I thought so last year too, and they freaking won 60. I don't get how they do it. Yeah, so again, we all heard LaMarcus wants out. We hear, we don't know. Tony Parker's about 800. Manu's about 805. So, like, how much can they really give? They just gave freaking Pau Gasol 48 mil for some reason. By every metric, I want to say they had a kind of bad offseason. They let Jonathan Simmons walk. But they're still probably going to win 58 games and be a top three seed. You know, and it's amazing what they've done.
I just wonder when, and maybe it won't happen. Maybe it'll never happen. But I wonder if there's going to be a fall off. Like Dwayne Dedman, and I know that he's a bit piece, but he was super important to what they did in the regular season. And I know he couldn't play a ton in the playoffs. But he was important to them. Jonathan Simmons was in and out of the rotation. They got Rudy Gay. And maybe that will be the downfall of them, is that they got Rudy Gay.
Maybe the hubris of thinking they can get Rudy Gay to be a winning basketball player at this point in his career after coming off an Achilles rupture, it might be their downfall. But, I mean, it's hard to bet against them. I remember back in 2013, I was saying they were done. You know, they're almost done. And then they end up blowing out the Heat in 2014. So I stopped betting against Spurs.
Yeah. No, you can't. And until you see it, you can't say that the Spurs are going to fall off.
That's it.
Yeah. Okay, Westbrook. So a lot of Thunder fans are on pins and needles right now, worried about Russ signing, worried that he's not going to do it. And you know, I still think he's going to sign it. Everything that I've heard indicates that it's going to happen. It's going to be on Russ's timeline, which is not anybody else's timeline. But what are your thoughts on the extension? Do you think he'll do it? And then is it a good or bad thing for the Thunder in the long run?
I listen to you guys talk about this a lot, and I do get both sides where, you know, there are people who think that, let's say that Russ signs the extension and Paul George walks, and they're in a bad spot because they just have Russell Westbrook and a bunch of pieces. But you still have Russell Westbrook. That's the thing. You still have Russell Westbrook and a bunch of pieces. So I think it's a good thing no matter if he signs it. Now, you can answer me this question. Does him holding off signing it suck that they're already in tax territory? So it doesn't matter if he signs it like right now or not. They still have the same money they can spend, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They're over the tax, and they're willing to pay the tax.
For sure.
So, yeah.
For sure. So, is it just him exploring all his options? Is he just being cautious? Yeah, I mean, it's obviously something to worry about. You put all that money in front of Russell Westbrook and say, hey, we got you help. We're willing to spend now, and we want to pay you. You know, we just saw Harden sign it. We saw Wall sign it, season extension. And they're like, hey, we want you to be here. We want to pay you. And he's taking so long to sign it. Obviously, it's something to be concerned about. But I'm holding out hope for you guys. As a Celtics fan, I'll say this. I would trade my grandma along with Isaiah, along with all the picks, to get Russell Westbrook in town.
What would be a realistic trade for Russell Westbrook for you?
For Boston?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm really high on Boston's young guys, but I'd give up Jalen. I'd give up Isaiah. I'd give up Tatum. The 18 Nets pick. You know what I'm saying? I'd basically trade the farm. I'd give up a lot for Russell Westbrook.
Man, that if Paul George walks, they're definitely an interesting option. Who's your guy? Who's your young guy that you always talk about on Twitter that you wouldn't trade?
What's his name? Oh, Yabusele, yeah. Man.
Yabusele.
Man,
yeah.
Yabusele.
Would you trade Yabusele straight up for Russell Westbrook?
I would send him and Semi Ojeleye packing. I love those guys. I would drive them from Boston, Oklahoma myself.
Man, I was so mad when you guys got Ojeleye. I think that he's good. I think he's going to play. I think that he's a legit, you know, fourth or fifth big man on a team today and has potential to be more. And I'm pretty miffed that the Thunder didn't get in on that second round.
I don't get it, dude.
So many second rounders. So many good second rounders.
I don't get it. I know you guys' thoughts on Terrence Ferguson, and I'm with you. It's like, all right. I know Terrence Ferguson has, you know, a decent maybe upside, but there was actually useful players to be picked at that position. And I don't get what OKC was thinking.
Yeah, they must have fallen in love with this kid overseas. I don't get it. I had a crowd of a bunch of people booing. And I feel a little bit bad about that because I do think that he's got potential. I mean, he's super athletic. He can shoot it. But it's going to be a minute before he can play. He's not going to play. He's not going to play this season at all. So I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. Before the Paul George trade, I was not happy about the pick. Now it's like, okay.
Now it's like, whatever. Yeah. We got Paul.
I'd like to thank Chicken Express for sponsoring today's show. If you haven't been to Chicken Express and you live in Yukon or you live in Edmond or you live in the Dallas area, Amarillo, in Tulsa, you're making a mistake. You got to go to Chicken Express today. I am going to drive through Dallas tomorrow. And for lunch, I am going to get some Chicken Express. I will probably get chicken tenders. I will probably get the French fries. And they will be delicious. My kids love it. My wife even says that it's great. It also reheats well. So if you want to like buy a big old family meal and take it home and you don't eat it all, it reheats really good. The fish fillets are really good. They've got a ton of sides that are great. I'm going to list out all the sides. Here we go. Let's see how fast I can do it. French fries, fried okra, mashed potatoes, coleslaw, mac and cheese, green beans, mini poppers, corn on the cob, cheese sticks, corn nuggets, and fried pickles. Lots of choices. They're all very good. You'll get a biscuit or roll with your meal as well. And they're both so good. You can't make a bad choice at Chicken Express. Go check out Chicken Express today for lunch or dinner with your family or friends. Right.
And so let me ask you, what would it take for Paul George to stay? What do you think has to happen this year for Paul George to be like, you know what? Even though I have my eyes in L.A., I'll stay in Oklahoma City because we have potential. Because we have potential to be something great. What would it take?
They've got to make the conference finals. I mean, I think that anything less than that is probably a failure to this team. And then I think that Paul George will bolt. Because, I mean, just look at Chris Paul. I mean, Chris Paul has had like some nice runs in the playoffs, but he's never made it out of the second round. And you just hear that all the time. And the second round, I mean, it's cool that you made it out of a first round series, but if you're a home court advantage, like you're supposed to do that. And so I think if they can beat the Spurs in the second round or whoever, and hopefully they can position themselves where they don't have to play Golden State. And if they do play Golden State in the second round, so I'll say this. Conference finals, or if they play Golden State in the second round, if they push him to six games, then I think that he'd consider staying.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking too, right? Even if they meet Golden State early, and if they got to at least push him and make him work, like you said, six. They can't just, you know, if they fall in like four, or, you know, they win one game and then they get blown out the other four, then yeah, there's no point in me staying here.
Yeah, it's tough because Golden State's like the most unfair measuring stick in the history of the NBA. I mean, and this Thunder team is good. Like, if this was a normal year, the Thunder are a bona fide title contender. But this is, we're entering an era of unfair basketball.
Yeah, I call it the era of Golden State right now, where they're just so much better than everybody else. And it's almost like a feeling of almost not hopelessness, but like inevitability, right?
Yeah. Oh, it is. Unless there's injury. And honestly, this next season, any sort of like fun in the playoffs hinges on a Golden State injury, which is kind of sad.
I'm going to say this. It's still going to be fun because I think, like I've heard a lot of people say, and I kind of agree, the Thunder are probably built more than any team to defend Golden State. Maybe not. I'm still worried about the scoring a little bit and the shooting, I guess, but it's still they're set up pretty well to maybe, you know, to make Golden State have to try to figure out how to score in different ways, even though Kevin Durant is still Kevin Durant.
Yeah, they're going to be tough. And Russell Westbrook, I think that he, with space, is super difficult to defend. And that'll be a challenge for Golden State. And I think Steven Adams, too. I think Steven Adams, when he's not a focal point, when he's like your fourth or fifth best player, then he can be that Steven Adams who was in the playoffs a couple years ago. As like the second guy last year, like he just showed that he's either one, he's not ready to be that guy, or two, he maybe will never be that guy. But as just like a defender, a role player, a guy that's just going to clean up and catch alley-oops, like I think that opens up a ton for him.
And that's the big thing with Paul George. He lets everybody else return to their proper the proper hierarchy. You know what I mean? Because Russ is Russ. But then after that, we have guys who were asked maybe to do too much because they were all third and fourth kind of option players. There's no other second option player. So that's why. And like you said, no spacing. Adams looked just exhausted for the second half of the season. Paul George's, his scoring and his ball handling and his gravity, because he's a really good spot up shooter. He's going to open up things for everybody else and let them be the best selves they can be. You know what I mean? So,
yep.
It's going to be exciting, man.
Yeah, even Robertson. Because Robertson he caught a lot of heat at the end of the season or at the end of that Rockets series, rightfully so, because he was so bad from the free throw line. But you're right. It allows everybody to slide back where they were supposed to be. Last season, all these guys were playing roles that the Thunder did not intend for them to play at all. And you're right. Everybody gets to slide back in where they were supposed to be, and you get to see a really good Thunder squad.
I'm really excited to watch Celtics this year, but right there with the Thunder. Thunder's going to be really excited.
Yep. Let's talk about the most overrated and underrated players on the team. Let's start with underrated. Who's the most underrated player on the Thunder?
I think you might have mentioned him, Roberson. Mm-hmm. I know it, and he killed you to hear it every time, too. And I was telling myself all day long, Roberson, I just come on, dude. Roberson, because, yeah, the end of the season, whatever. I actually put that on Billy Donovan. As a coach, the onus is on you. You got to get him out of there.
I agree.
And I get it. You're just trying to let him play through it and hoping against hope that he would step up big time. That's not fair to him. So that was on Donovan. Mm-hmm. So Andre, yeah, he to me, right there with Kawhi Leonard as a perimeter defender. The guy is incredible. I spent the other day, and I said this, he's one of the guys I can watch his defensive highlights and really just kind of get hyped for it. Him and Marcus Smart have these great defensive highlights. Yeah. They have these great defensive highlights. And people talk about his contract. It's a really fair deal. They wanted to pay him more last year in the offseason. He didn't take that. He took a smaller deal. That's a great contract for him.
It's great. And some people, I hope you never have to endure this, but if you ever catch yourself listening to local radio here in Oklahoma City, there are guys that just like dog Roberson all the time, and it kills me. Like, there's a local guy here that is just loves the idea of Aaron Aflalo and thinks that they should dump Roberson for Aflalo. I'm just like banging my head against the steering wheel every time I hear that, because Roberson is super valuable. And now you can play these small lineups where you can put everybody is a shooter with Westbrook plus Roberson, and Roberson can be your center on offense. And they did that against Golden State, and it worked very well. And they can run some of those sets again. And Roberson, he's not a good shooter. He probably will never, ever be a good shooter. But the level of defense that he brings it's a game changer. And he's going to be able to, when they play teams like Houston, like say they meet up with Houston in the second round, if you're a Thunder fan, you're going to be really glad you have Andre Roberson on that team, because you can put Paul George and Roberson on Harden and Chris Paul, and it's going to make life miserable for those two.
I'm just imagining Roberson, Paul George, and Jeremy Grant lineups. And that's like having three octopus out there, three octopi mm-hmm. out there just with arms everywhere and just jumping, passing lanes and blocking shots. That's going to be fun, man.
Yeah, they're going to be great. I don't know what your opinion is on Jeremy Grant. I don't know if he's real. I don't know if he's a real NBA player. What do you think about him?
I think having Paul George there will make him more effective, because now, again, last year he was asked to do, maybe a little more than he should have been asked to do for who he is. But now he can just come in, hit the corner threes, hit the boards, weak side shot blocking, crash the boards. He's going to be an effective player. And I think, how much they get him for this year?
They've got him for just over $2 million. So, and he's unrestricted after this season.
I think he'll also then he's playing for a contract. I'm not saying he's going to, go nuts trying to play for a contract, but that's good. He's motivated. I think he's going to fit right in. I can see, you could play him with center sometimes and then have Roberson play power forward and have mm-hmm. Paul George at the three, Abrina is at the two. That's going to be cool, man. You guys got a lot of options. Donovan has a lot of options at his disposal.
They're going to be super fun. And yeah, and you going into this summer, I looked at Grant and I was like, man, they should probably just go ahead and make him restricted and lock him up. But now, after seeing like how this summer went, like just wait. Cause if he doesn't improve any, what's he going to command on the market? Like a max of like $8 million or something like that. I mean, you just wait. And same with Doug McDermott, like don't try to extend that dude, because restricted free agents aren't getting anything right now.
Yeah, so that's my riddle article about how next year might be like a free agent nuclear winter because there's just no money. It's all dried up. So he might be back on the cheap next year.
Yeah, and that's one reason why if Paul George walks, that things just aren't awful. If they can find a way to like offload Kanter and then they have all this space, like they can go after a restricted free agent and like maybe go after like Jabari Parker and scare the crap out of the Bucks with a max offer or something like that. Because there aren't going to be teams that'll do that. The Lakers will probably not have any space by that point. Brooklyn will have some space, but I don't know how many teams are going to be or how many players are willing to sign with them. The Thunder, they're either going to be a great team moving forward or they're going to be in really great shape being like one of like six teams that have significant cap space.
If Paul George does walk, how much cap does that open up?
That's a great question that I don't have a great answer to here on July 30th, 2017.
Just make one up, dude. No one's going to fact check us. Just make it up.
That's right. Upwards of 40 million. I don't know. I just made that up. I have no idea. But they'll have cap space, and they'll be able to get in the mix. And Sam Presti is so creative when he has cap space. If you'll just go back and look at kind of his history when the Thunder were just up-and-coming team and they had cap space, they were able to acquire guys like Eric Maynor through Mac Harpring's contract and stuff like that. And they were able to move up and get a top, I think he was the 11th pick or 10th pick, and Cole Aldrich, which wasn't great. But still, like, he was able to use his cap space creatively. And, you know, I would expect to see more of the same. If Paul George does walk, I expect to see a lot of creative stuff to put a team around Russ.
Man, Eric Maynor was so good for like 4 weeks.
He was, man. I loved him. He was a fun backup point guard. The Thunder have had some interesting backup point guards. Sean Livingston was a backup for a minute. Eric Maynor was here. Reggie Jackson, although I just despise the man now, was pretty great here in OKC. And now they got big fat Ray Felton. So it's pretty fun.
Hey, we can joke all we want, but Ray has been an outstanding backup for the last two or three years. And that, when I heard that was the pick that told me right there. I said, you know what, the Thunder are gonna have, they might have a special season this year.
He's good, man, and he killed the Thunder in the playoffs when that last playoff run with Durant. Like he won the game.
Went nuts against. I was surprised. I mean, I'm like, how is he just getting to the rim like this? What's happening right now?
Yeah, he's good. Like he's going to be a. I mean, really. And we've talked about this a lot, is that it's not going to take anything to upgrade the backup point guard position. And now you've got a really, I mean, he was, you know, probably what, like the 10th best backup point guard overall last season, which is great for OKC.
I think he's probably better than that. I think over, you know, maybe really he was. So let me ask you this. How does it feel knowing that Samaj Christian is forever in the history books as the guy who made the three off Russ's triple double clinching three pointer?
You know, I don't feel good about it to start with. But I do feel a little bit bad because I didn't mean for like my hatred for him to get so out of control. I think it was just something that my heart wanted so badly, just to let everybody know how much I didn't like him as a basketball player. But I got so many tweets that day after he made that shot, just because I
got hate Andrew. Him. How's that feel? How's that feel, Andrew?
I just laughed. And there was maybe a quarter where Samaj went off and he like banked a three or something against Houston. And I was just laughing. I was just rolling, laughing on my couch. Just because
I want him to be good. I want him to be good because his name is James backwards. Yeah. So I want him to be good so bad. He's just not so good. So that's not great.
He is not good. I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't really even, he's supposed to be a defender and he's not a great defender and he's can't really dribble and he can't shoot. I don't see it at all. I think the Thunder do these make good contracts and they just did another one with their big guy from Kentucky. And it's just like, all right. Like, why?
I don't get that one. I don't get it, man.
It's not good. The Thunder, you know, they like to reward guys who do the D League thing. And, you know, at some point you're going to have to stop rewarding guys that just aren't that good.
You know what it is? That he didn't deserve that 48, but, you know, he opted out to give him space. And since they didn't have anything to do with the money after they missed on the guys, he's like, you know what? We're going to reward Powell for that. It's kind of the same kind of thing. So would you rather have Samaj or would you rather have Powell Gasol at $16 million a year?
That deal is destructive. Like, it is, because it looked like they were shaping up to have a ton of space next summer, and then they just ate up $16 million of it with Pau Gasol.
And 2 years, man.
And what's he going to be, like 39 next summer?
He's going to be like 54, I think.
Yeah, why? Why are you doing that, San Antonio? Because it looked like they could do like what I was talking about with the Thunder. It's like, go after these restricted guys. You know, if you pair Jabari Parker with Kawhi, like, that's pretty awesome. Or you go, you know, give a contract to Rodney Hood that scares the crap out of Utah and bring Rodney Hood to San Antonio. But now they position themselves where they can't really do all that much.
So weird.
It is weird.
You see any questions that are interesting to you?
I see my man at Goldner PDX. Can we just go ahead and get into it?
Yeah, let's do it. You want to?
Yeah, he just says, is Russ. He just says, at Goldner PDX, Brandon Goldner, he says, is Russ secretly a little frustrated or a little relieved to not have to get to do it all with PG-13 on the way? You go ahead first.
Yeah, he's relieved. I mean, last season was fun, but there were definite points in the season where he was frustrated. And I think Russ did have a lot of fun not passing to anybody. But I think that going through that experience, especially in the playoffs against Houston, against a friend and rival in James Harden, where they smashed them in five games, I think that he sees the other side. He sees what that career trajectory looks like, and he does not like it. So he's very excited to have Paul George. He is definitely relieved, and I think that he's going to want to do whatever he can to help Paul George acclimate to the offense. And then also, he wants him to stay. I think Westbrook's staying long-term, and I think that Westbrook will do whatever he can to get Paul to stay long-term, too.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that, you know, I think every player probably dreams of just having carte blanche to whatever they want. And we know that Russ, I said it before, I think Russ and KD's games are just both too big to exist together, and that was part of the problem. So, sure, it was amazing what Russ did last year. I think we all thrilled to the triple-doubles and the big shot and the clutch moments. But, that's a lot of load. And there were games that they lost that they should have won because he was just, you know, maybe just didn't have it that day. So, you know, Paul George is like almost like a poor man's Kevin Durant as far as, you know, he's tall, he's long, but he's not a dominant possessions like Kevin Durant does. So, yeah, Russ has to be relieved. You know, he has a legit running mate, and he's going to get to take revenge on some of the teams last year that might have beat up on OKC because they were just undermanned. So now he has another big gun to run with.
Yep. At Maze Jen asks, if we acquire Melo, only giving up Cantor, McBuckets, and Singler, or something similar, what percent chance do we have to beat Golden State? What do you think?
I'm just not really sold on Melo being like a huge needle mover. Mm-hmm. I think the regular season is going to help. Obviously, he's going to, you know, he can give you 15 to 25 on any given. He'll fall out of bed and give you 18. That's awesome. But the defense is lacking. The kind of the court awareness. But he's going to just call. He's just shooting. That's what he does. He's a weapon.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just say, while he'll help, definitely, once you get against Golden State, and now, you know, they got the death lineup of Dre and KD at the four and the five, what's Melo offensively? Sure, he's still going to get his a little bit, but they're going to just shred him. They're going to rip him to shreds, so I don't even know. I don't know how much he helps really as far as against Golden State.
Yeah, I agree. I think that maybe they have like a 4% chance without Melo, and then maybe like a 4.5% chance with Melo. Like, he helps some. Because I think you can play him more than you can play Cantor, but this is not Olympic Melo. I don't know why. I just don't know where people are getting this. That like, oh, well, finally we can get Olympic Melo. It's 2017. I just don't know where this idea. I don't know why people think that he will just instantly change who he is as an NBA player.
Olympic Melo in like two Olympic runs, he broke 30 like twice, and like he had some really nice games. But the fact that, you know, he's playing with a bunch of all stars against freaking, you know, Angola, that's not the same as playing in the NBA finals against a real good team. So yeah, that whole Olympic Melo fascination. NBA Twitter just has this fascination. If you put him on the right team, you get Olympic Melo. No, you put him with LeBron James and Kobe Bryant and Kevin Durant, you get Olympic Melo. But there's no team that has all these great players, so just be quiet.
Yeah. At the real Ryan VK, what superstar would best fit next to Russ and Paul George? Are there any that may be potentially available?
my dream lineup for with them two would have been Paul Millsap. I know it can never happen, especially not yet. He has his new deal. But, you know, I was thinking if there was a way they could bring Millsap in before Paul George came in, that would have been a really good fit.
Yeah, Paul Millsap would be great. If he was the four next to Steven Adams, if that would be possible, man, that would be just ridiculous. Potentially available. I mean, I think you start with LaMarcus Aldridge, but I don't.
Is he a superstar?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not a superstar. He'd be available. I think you still look at Boogie and think like he's got so much talent. But
now, would you want to see Boogie with Paul George and Russ? Because that's like a lot of usage, and like I don't know, man. He's so talented, and he'll be 25 and 13, and he'll go for 40 every now and then. But then, like, I just worry that his time in Sacramento has kind of like tainted him, because the guy just doesn't know. It seems like he plays winning basketball.
He's not shown it. All he's shown is that he can put up points, and maybe he's Zach Randolph, where the beginning of his career, like, you just don't know what to think about him. You know, he's gonna. Maybe the Pelicans isn't his first stop in the next few years. Maybe he bounces around until like he finds his Memphis, because Zebo was really, his talent was so undeniable, and he finally figured it out. Maybe it's going to take a while for Boogie, but he's so good. But you're right that the usage is a problem. But you just wonder, like, what does it look like whenever he actually sees two players that are better than him? Or will he even acknowledge it? I don't know.
A player at his level might think, well, I'm just as good as this guy. Now, here's my question. If things aren't going well by the trade deadline, let's say they're, you know, maybe only a few games over 500. What if they try to trade Paul George for Boogie?
Man, if you're New Orleans, you just have to do it and just roll the dice, even though Paul George is going to leave. Yeah, I mean, if things are just awful, I mean, let's get crazy, let's get weird, and let's throw Boogie in the mix and see what happens. But if it's that bad, Presti will be trying some stuff. They would look to your Celtics and say, "Hey, you want another crack at Paul George? Do you want to, you know, give up a few younger pieces, and then you can make a serious title run with Isaiah and with
Hayward. Buddy, we're making a serious run right now with Yabu and Shemmy are giving us that versatility we need. All right, Tatum is ready to learn at the feet of Crowder, and we're going to just have this switchy 6'8" and above lineup out there. It's going to drive teams nuts.
Hey, this Irving news is probably most exciting to Celtics fans because the disarray that the Cavs are in. I mean, like, everything's open now.
Love it.
What do you think about Irving? Where's Irving going? Do you have any favorite destinations?
I seem like the Heat have a combination of like players and need. The Heat seem like to be a real good place for him. I don't understand these deals though, where people are saying like you got to give up Booker and Josh Jackson to get. I'm like, he's good. Look, Kyrie is a definite bona fide all star. He's got a big bump from playing with LeBron. He's not as good as people seem to think he is. You know, so he's really good. He's not as good as people think he is. So, I like Denver. I thought Denver, if they can, as long as they don't have to give up Harris and Murray, just give up one of them, and like maybe Wilson Chandler and whatever picks. That seems fair to me. But you know, people are like, oh, you got to give up, you know, Gary Harris and Murray. I'm like, that's insane.
Yeah, no. There's no way Denver would say no to that too. They should.
Yeah, so he's good. I'm really curious to see what happens. You think he goes into the training camp, Cleveland training camp, or is he gone by the front of the season?
I don't know. I kind of tend to think that he stays at least for a little bit, because they're in no rush to get rid of him. And what good does it do Irving to not play well? You know,
I kind of agree. But did you see the video today?
No, I haven't.
You didn't see the video. This video that. Curry and Kyrie are at a wedding.
Yeah.
And Steph Curry is mocking LeBron James' dance while he's training. Remember when LeBron shaved his head and he was doing the Snapchat thing or whatever, and he was dancing and snarling and he's, you know, no shirt on. Steph Curry was doing that same thing, and right beside him is Kyrie just laughing and yucking it up.
Whoa.
Oh, I can't believe I got to break something on the show.
It's breaking news. Wow. That is so weird. What a weird thing.
Steph did the whole snarl, and they started to act like he was doing curls and like push-ups. And Kyrie is beside him, just laughing.
So Kyrie is being traded this afternoon, is what we just learned.
I can't wait to see what LeBron comes back. You know he's going to do something passive aggressive on Instagram or something.
That is crazy. Okay, so Eric Bledsoe, T.J. Warren, and Jared Dudley for Kyrie Irving and Iman Shumpert.
I mean, that sounds fair to me, but everybody keeps telling me that it has to be Bledsoe and Josh Jackson. I'm like, that's insane. But yeah, you can even throw in one of the big guys like Bender. I say Eric Bledsoe and I don't know. I don't think they want Chris after his summer league. He was terrible. Mm-hmm. But yeah, even throw in Bender or Chris and just I don't know, just give it to him and let Kyrie go to Phoenix.
Yeah, and the Cavs, if they really want Josh Jackson, is that not just them saying we know that LeBron's leaving?
Yeah, basically.
Because he's not, I mean, I think Josh Jackson's going to be good, but are you going to play a rookie in the finals like that? A rookie that maybe can't shoot in the finals? Like, I don't see it. That's why I see, like, Bledsoe, Dudley, and TJ Warren. That's like, okay, like, all three of those guys can play. TJ Warren can be, like, a six-man type of guy, and Bledsoe can come in and start, and Jared Dudley, you can put him wherever you want. And that might even make the Cavs better.
My man, what's his name? I can't remember his name. Someone wrote an article about how a trade of Kyrie might make them better because they might get some long wings and another point guard who could maybe play some defense. And that's a good point, man. Yeah, Bledsoe is really good. Bledsoe is underrated, I think.
Bledsoe is good. And you know what LeBron does? He makes everybody look much, much better. Richard Jefferson has looked like a real NBA player these past couple of years. You know, turned around J.R. Smith's career. You know, makes Tristan Thompson into a close to a max player. Like LeBron James will do stuff for some guys, and Jared Dudley will look great. T.J. Warren will look great. Eric Bledsoe will look great. I mean, that's LeBron will do that for guys.
I will say though that like Kyrie just being able to take the ball and score for stretches is a big part of why they made it to the finals last 3 years in the playoffs. So that's really tough to replicate. So, I mean, maybe I'm underrating, you know, what Irving brings, but I don't think so. Somebody yelled at me because I said, you know, I got kind of yelled at on Twitter because I said, LeBron is great. I know he's the best player in the league. I would, if they told me tomorrow he can come to Boston for, you know, whatever picks and Jaylen Brown, I wouldn't want him. You know, it's, you're at the whim of him and his, you know, 1 year deals and is he leaving the next year? And his buddies are riding on the flights, you know, and he just enters every aspect of your franchise and just changes everything. And I don't want to deal with that if as a Celtics fan.
I think what seals it for me a little bit is the fact that he is heading into the twilight of his career. And
thank you.
Do you want that to happen in the twilight? If it's for this next season, man, I'll take him. Like, I'll give whatever for this next season. But if you're thinking like long term, like what's a 36-year-old LeBron going to do when he's controlling your franchise? Like, I don't know. That's really interesting.
That's exactly what I said. I said, look, 3 years ago, sure, because we know we have, you know, 4, 5, 6 more years of dominant LeBron. We'll get to the point where it's in the next 3 to 5 years, he's not going to be this guy anymore. Right. It has to be. He's not a robot. So.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you're the Celtics and you see that basically when LeBron is done, the East is yours. Like you don't want to just give it all up for a guy that is when he is done, then you're done kind of thing.
And guess what? Even adding LeBron to like say you got to move a bunch of pieces and get him in there. I still don't know if you beat Golden State.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks a lot, you know? Kevin. This is all. I feel like that's the end of that could be the end of every NBA conversation is. But at the end of the day, no one's beating Golden State.
And that's what it kind of sucks. The league's still fun. I'm still going to watch every minute I can. Yep. But yeah, just the feeling that at the end of the year, we know who's going to be wearing the rings again. Kind of.
Yeah.
How many more years did they ride that out? Because, you know, there's talk about, you know, Clay wants to get paid 2019. Mm-hmm. Then when he's up again.
Yeah.
I mean, that's right. There's a good chance that, you know, I'm pretty sure Durant's not going to keep taking $25 million. So, no way he's going to want to get paid. So, has Clay leave in 2019?
I think that these super duper teams have a shelf life. You know, you saw it with Miami, and there were some different circumstances happening with that team. But I think that I think give it 3 more years, and I think that this team will look a lot different. And I think that some of these guys, like, is Klay Thompson going to be okay with, like, how many shots did he take in the playoffs? I'm trying to look at it right now. He took field goal attempts, 13 shots a game for Klay Thompson, who should be getting like 20 shots a game or 25 shots a game for any other team. Like, how long is he going to be okay with that?
I guess if he keeps stacking rings on, it's kind of a lot easier to deal with, right?
It does make it easier. And, you know, Draymond Green, like, I think the dude is incredible. Like, how long does his prime last? Because a lot of times, like, these second rounders that are, like, way overperforming where that they're at, like, a lot of those times, those guys can fall off a cliff at some point. And the pounding that he's taking as their center at times, I just wonder, I don't know. Like, I think that they're going to dominate this year and probably the next. But then I think that things will start to change and evolve a little bit. I don't think that we're in a hopeless situation for the next 5 years or anything like that.
Oh, no, because here comes Philly, baby. Here comes those Sixers. Yeah.
They're going to be fun, man.
They are, man. They're going to be really good in a couple years, not just fun. If they can keep Embiid upright, they're going to be really good. I don't know how good. They're going to be really good in a couple years.
Yeah, and, man, Embiid is so good. But I just have to see it to believe it, that he's going to be able to stay healthy. I just have to see it.
Let's Thunder Nation as a group. I want everyone to put out the vibe. We want to get Embiid for at least 70 games a year for the next decade.
that would be amazing, because that would change the East fast, because they're immediately a playoff team. If he plays 70 games, they could be the fifth seed.
Oh.
Like, they're going to be, like, they were really, really good when Joel Embiid played. And the East is so bad, man. The East is so pathetic. And now they've got, you know, they signed J.J. Redick, who's going to help a lot in the locker room as well as on the court. I think they're going to be good. Like, they could be legitimately good. But I just need to see Embiid play for longer than 31 games.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's really interesting. I just hope they're not too good, because Boston needs to win a bunch. Yeah.
I know that. How awful would that be as, like, Boston rises? Like, and that's what happened to the Thunder. It's like the Thunder were on this rise, and you could see it. And it was like, okay, the Thunder are going to at some point, this Thunder team is going to dominate the league, and then the Golden State Warriors out of nowhere leapfrog them.
Yeah, they said, nope, here we are. And that's crazy. Here's the thing. I'm going to tell you something. This is a pretty big platform. I would not be too upset if Boston let Isaiah Thomas walk.
Is it because of the money that he'll command, or what is it?
It's the years. As good as he is, it's just hard to wrap my mind around paying him 30-plus million for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And then, like, then we're obviously locked in. We got 3 max players. And they're good Mac players, but just him being paid that much money, I don't know, dude.
So, what would you do at your point guard position then?
And this is going to sound foolish again, and it's just, look, I'd roll out, look, Marcus Smart, Gordon Hayward, Crowder, start probably Marcus Morris and Al Horford. And then we just, like I said, we're going kind of positionless basketball. We're rolling.
They would still be a good team, but man, like, Isaiah's good, man. Like, he's basically, you know, 4 inches shorter Kyrie Irving, right?
Like, yeah, he is. I know. But I mean, it's just the money, dude.
Yeah.
If it was 4 years, $100 million, I'm okay.
Yeah.
You know, 3 years, 90, give him like the Kyle Lowry contract. I'm fine with that. It's the years I think are.
Yeah, and he'll be 29 when he gets that new deal, which is also not too comforting. And he's 5'9", and maybe 5'9", when I say 5'9". Do people really call him the pizza guy?
It's something from Sacramento. He was in, like, some local pizza thing commercials.
Okay. Do people call him King of the Fourth?
I don't call them that.
I've never heard either of those. I'm looking at Basketball Reference right now.
I've heard them both just on like NBA Twitter. And I call them the Runt.
Yeah.
Or the Imp. I call them the Imp.
The Imp? What's the Imp?
Because he's so small. He's like an Imp.
Oh. He's fun, though, man. Like, he's...
You know what? There's gonna be a game I watch this season, and he's going to go nuts, and I'm going to, like, pay this man his money.
Yep.
Yeah. I even wrote something over at B-Ball Breakdown about how, you know, he's worth every penny. And then, he got hurt, and they still beat, they beat Cleveland in the game with him out. And I'm like, I know it's only one game, and he's really valuable. You know,
yeah.
Hey, 28 and 6 is 28 and 6, no matter how tall you are.
Mm-hmm. 28 and 6 on almost 38% from three.
He's like a top 5 scorer in the league, even though he's tiny. And we see him do it in all environments. He gets to the hole. He can finish over bigs. It's tough, man. It's tough to say, oh, he's so small. He still does it, you know?
You're just doing exactly what the Kings and Phoenix did whenever they had him.
Well, they didn't have to pay him $30 million, so that's where it comes out to.
That's true. That's true. But, man, what a failure by Phoenix to let him go for what they did. I mean, it's an absolute failure.
Absolutely. I mean, look, I think he left Sacramento over like $3 million a year, or like $1 million a year. They, like, he wanted like 9, and they only offered him 7 total or something.
Yeah.
You know, that's ridiculous.
Let's see. Somebody asked, are you and Josh Eberle best friends?
Josh is like the Canadian Chris Palmer.
Okay.
I don't know what happened to Josh, but maybe around January I noticed he just started becoming more and more ridiculous. And now he just says, like he said, that LaMelo Ball takes those crazy shots because he's appealing to the masses and he's fine with that. I was like, are you high? Those are bad shots. They're terrible shots. Well, no, I'm fine with him, man. He's so such a skilled player. So, no, he's not. What game are you watching? So
that's funny. I don't know why somebody asked you that, but
you know why? Because I also told him that he could, I won't. This is a PG-13 show, so
yeah.
I also said some other things he could. Well, because we were having when I saw that LaMelo thing. So is that really that's what you're going with? And he started trying to explain it. I said, okay, well, that's a good conversation, I guess. That's how you feel. And then he just said something, and I said, you're an idiot, and some other stuff. So, Josh, you stink. Josh, you really stinks. So,
all right. Anything else? Anything you need to get off your chest? Anything to plug? Anything like that?
I'm actually going to do the OKC offseason report over at B-Ball Breakdown. So, I'll make sure I send it to you when I do it.
Yeah, we'll tweet it.
And what else? Oh, I need to hear you say it one more time. I need to hear one Vlade Divac trade call.
Oh, the boogie for the buddy. What's great is that if you ever listen to Vlade talk, it couldn't be further from what he actually sounds like.
It's so ridiculous. I was at work the other day, and somebody was saying something about calling my buddy. I like the boogie for the buddy, and they just looked at me because nobody else really likes basketball in my job. I said, my bad. I was doing a trade call. They just looked at me some more. So I just walked out of the room.
Oh, we love trade calls. I can't remember how that came to be. I think I was talking with my friend Alex Spears at Al Baby Cakes on Twitter. And I was like, let's pretend that we are the GMs. And it's been so fun since we've done that.
It's a good time, man. I enjoy when you guys do that, man. Keep doing what you guys are doing, man. You guys do really good stuff. And I listen every week or every day. Not every week, because you guys pop out a lot of pods, and I like that. So I'm a faithful listener. You guys keep doing your thing. Thanks for having me on, bro.
Yeah, thanks, James. We'll follow you on Twitter at Snotty Drippin. I'm sure most of you are. If you're not, follow him. He's a really fun follow. You can check us out on Twitter at Down to Dunk. Please leave us a 5-star iTunes review. It'd be a super nice thing for you guys to do for us. Also, we're looking for additional sponsors for the season. So if you have a business or know a relative or friend that has a business that might be interested in doing some ads, we would love to have you. We're going to sign out, and everybody have a great day.
Love you, NBA Twitter, except for Josh Eberle.